Probably most of us have never really heard of the Hebrew name Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah is going to be now associated with the most devastating attack on Israel since the time of the Holocaust. So what is Simchat Torah? What is that? The following comes from Judaism 101 website. Tishri the 22nd is the day after the seventh day of Sukkot. It is the holiday Shemini Etzeret. Shemini Etzeret in Hebrew means the assembly of the eighth day. Now in Israel, you have two days combined. You have Shemini Etzeret, which is the eighth day, the festival of the eighth day. And you also have the holiday Simchat Torah, which means the rejoicing in the Torah. So there were Jews all over the nation of Israel that were observing both. They were observing the eighth day assembly, and then there were others who were also enjoying the holiday, because it marks, that holiday marks the completion of the annual cycle of the weekly Torah readings. So it was a big deal for the Jews on last Sabbath, the year which we were all keeping the last great day. And so we all know the peace was shattered, and now war is again in the forefront of news. So how long will this conflict last? We don't know. It's anyone's guess. But I thought it might be good to just go over some history and look at some prophecies and discuss this a little bit today. And so the title of the sermon is The Israeli Conflict and Beyond. First of all, if it works, if we could put up map number one. And this shows the modern-day nation of Israel today. There it is, map number one. Now, there are a couple of important locations, if you could see those important locations. With just the map up, I guess, it would be all right. There is Gaza right in the center of Israel. There is Jerusalem is in the center of Israel. Gaza is on the coast on the left. Tyre is north in Lebanon. You have Damascus on the north. And so that's the modern nation of Israel. This map comes from the Nations Online project. And so the fighting began with an incursion from Gaza into southern Israel. And as of today, rockets are now coming in from the Hezbollah from Lebanon into northern Israel. So they're now fighting on a couple of different fronts. The areas along the coast were all ancient enemies of Israel, and they remain so today, especially Gaza and up toward Tyre and Sidon along the coast of Lebanon. So let's go to map two. This shows the potential of destruction that can come from Hamas. And so the Jerusalem Post noted that at the time this map was posted by the Jewish Defense Force, the Hamas political leader said that the goal of Hamas is the total destruction of Israel. So as you can see, 40% of Israeli citizens are in danger of rockets being fired from the Gaza Strip. And the leader said, "We are coming after the Zionists, with all of our leaders and soldiers. And they did that, of course, last Sabbath, the last great day. So again, one wonders if this is going to be short term or long term. A couple of wars that happened in the past were somewhat shorter term, and the Six-Day War, and then, of course, the Yom Kippur War. Israel, as a nation, a modern nation, is in danger. And I wonder, and I think we all wonder, well, what's going to trigger some more prophecies to take place? And I have wondered if some of this, of what is happening, may begin to trigger an idea among some Jewish people to begin offering animal sacrifices in order to get back to God for God's protection. One wonders, and again, I don't know, and not predicting anything like that, but one wonders. So I believe all of this bears some watching. I don't agree with watching all the details. That can be extremely depressing and heartbreaking. But also remember that even more wars are prophesied to come, all prior to and including the tribulation. Now we'll pull that slide off, and we'll just not have a slide for a moment. And I want to go into some history at this point. And this is from information of gotquestions.org, typed in, about Gaza. It is first mentioned in Genesis as one of the border cities of Canaan. Let's look at Genesis 10, verse 19. Genesis 10, verse 19. Genesis 10, verse 19. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you go toward Gerar, as far as Gaza. Then as you go toward Sodom and Gomorrah, Ada and these other nations. These were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, and in their nations. So these were the nations that descended from Noah. And we find Gaza is noted there as Canaan, part of Canaan, and we're seeing that Gaza did end up on the coast. The name Gaza actually means strong. It's fitting for the city's strongholds and fortifications. It later became known as the home of the Philistines. Now, for unknown reasons, the Philistines lived in Crete, an island in the Mediterranean. And again, we don't know why or how or what caused it, but they migrated from Crete and settled in Gaza. And because of their maritime history, the Philistines were often associated with Gaza and with the sea peoples. They were a mighty, fierce, warlike peoples. And we see an interesting note about this in Exodus 13, verse 17 to 18. And I'm wondering if at all possible, could we go back to slide one, and we'll show what is noted here. Exodus 13, verse 17. Exodus 13, verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, excuse me, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So God knew that Israel would be discouraged right away by these warlike people. And if you see on the map, you see Egypt, they were in northern Egypt at the time of the Exodus. And instead of going into the promised land right away, they would have faced the Philistines in Gaza. they could have gone into the promised land, but God knew that once they saw war, they wouldn't want to do that. They wouldn't want to go any further. So God led them all the way down south at the end of where modern Israel is now to cross the Red Sea. And we know all the reasons for that. Later on, let's notice who was to occupy Gaza in the promised land. That's Judges 1. Judges 1. Judges 1 and verse 2 to 3. The Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we might fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Now notice verse 17 to verse 19. And Judah went up with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Ziphrath and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Hormah. And Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. The Lord was with Judah. They drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. So when Israel had come into the promised land, it was Judah and Simeon that came in to take over the land of Gaza. But this is an interesting comment here in Exodus. They could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. So the Philistines were also known for their innovative use of iron. It was superior to bronze that the Israelites were using for weapons. And even as late as the time of Saul, the Israelites were forced to rely on the Philistines to sharpen or repair their iron tools. So notice this in 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13. First Samuel 13, verse 19. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. But all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare, and his axe, and his sickle. And the charge for sharpening was a pim for the plowshares. So a pim was kind of like a partial shekel at that time. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan. But they were found with Saul and Jonathan. So only Saul and Jonathan and those surrounding Saul had weapons of iron. The others did not. The garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash, and then we know what happened there with the battles that took place. So from this same source that got questions, it went on to say that because of the armament of the Philistines and their aggressive military policy, they continually thwarted Israel's development as a nation. And that's why throughout the Bible we see so many references to Israel-Philistine conflicts. It was earlier in Judges, we won't turn to these scriptures, but I think we're all familiar with them, that Samson was raised up to battle against the Philistines. David later killed Goliath, who represented Philistia. Constant battles took place, not only from that area, but from other areas around Israel, mainly from the the northern areas as well. Much battle. And there was a reason why, and that is because Israel continued to forsake God, forsook his warnings, and didn't obey him. So what did God do? He led them into captivity and had these other nations come in and destroy them. Well, not totally destroy, but to attack them. And so then Israel would repent. And sure enough, God would set up another judge until they then disobeyed God again. Then another country would come in. So that you see these battles that went on because basically Israel continued to keep rebelling against God. Now let's look at this historic map, map number 3, if we could. Okay, this particular map shows the surrounding nations at the time of Israel and Judah. Israel and Judah were two separate nations. This is after the time of Solomon. This map comes from Kingdoms Around Israel.map. And they were at war with Israel or Judah throughout their history. And you see that they are all listed there. The red is Gaza and the Philistines. And up north is the area of the Phoenicians, southern Lebanon. And you know, the Hamas is basically in Gaza now, and Hezbollah, which is an offshoot of Iran, is in southern Lebanon, where Tyre and Sidon were at that time. Let's notice a prophecy for the future in Psalm 83. Psalm 83. Let's look at verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. Do not be still, O God, for behold, your enemies make a tumult. Now, we'll come back to that in a moment. Your enemies make a tumult. Those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and have consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. These phrases here are almost similar to what Hamas leaders have said in the past. Let's cut them off from being a nation. Israel may be remembered no more. They've consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. So Edom is south, as you can see on the map. That's one. Moab, Gebel and Ammon. Ammon is the area of Jordan. And Amalek. Philistia. It's in the area of Gaza. And then, of course, the inhabitants of Tyre, southern Lebanon. Assyria has joined them. They have helped the children of Lot. It's Moab as well. So here we find that this is a confederacy that's eventually going to develop. And you see some ideas of it now forming, but you know, we have to wait and see until this all develops, because there's more prophecies yet in the future. And this particular confederacy is going to affect other Israelite nations as well, because America and England and Britain could all get drawn into this, which they already have begun to get drawn into this conflict right now. And again, we have to wait and see how this all develops, this particular situation now. But let's notice Asaph's prayer here. He's the one that wrote this song. Let's notice his prayer in verse 13. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. As the fire burns the woods and as the flame sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them with your tempest. Frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know you, whose name alone is the Lord and the Most High over all the earth. So we're talking about a time when Jesus Christ returns and begins to intervene in what he's going to do. Now, we mentioned about verse 2, about a tumult. And let's notice a similar prophecy back over here in Numbers. Numbers chapter 24. Numbers 24. This is about the story of Balaam, who had been hired by Balak of Moab to curse Israel. So in verse 14, now indeed I am going to my people, come, I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. So Balaam is telling Balak what's going to happen. Because see, Balaam could not really curse the people of God. So we find in verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. And batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of tumult. And there are some linkages between this verse and what we saw earlier in Psalm 83, showing that those nations, the sons of tumult, can very well include the nations along the coast and out of Gaza, as well as you see Moab and Edom. Seir and his enemies will be a possession while Israel does valiantly. Out of Jacob one shall have dominion and destroy the remnants of the city. So we're seeing even way back in Numbers a certain prophecy that would take place about these peoples here, about Jesus Christ intervening and what he will do. So I thought we would take some time now to look at a number of those prophecies. A number of those prophecies. And I guess we can keep that slide up if it's all right to do so. And not only those nations, the sons of tumult, but Moab and the others that were noted in Psalm 83. Let's go to Joel 3. So we're going to look at 4 or 5 different prophecies here. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. Joel 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they scattered among the nations. They have divided my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as payment for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. There will be slavery. They will have come in and taken people captive and held them, hold them. And we see a little bit of that, just a minor way of that happening now, but to a greater degree yet in the future. Verse 4. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Cilicia? Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your head. Because you've taken my silver, my gold, have carried into your temples my prized possessions. Also the peoples of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, you have sold to the Greeks, that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them and return your retaliation upon your own head. And God says, I'll sell your sons and daughters into the hand of the people of Judah. and they'll sell them into to the Sabaeans, to a people far off. The Lord has spoken. There's going to be a lot of conflict going on when Jesus Christ returns. And he will take vengeance on the people who did Israel dirty. And we see these prophecies here. Let's look at Amos 1. Amos 1. As an aside, we can see why God says, do not take any vengeance. God is the avenger, and God will do the vengeance according to his will and his way. But these are pretty graphic prophecies. Let's look at Amos 1, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them to Edom. So there's that connection there, even with Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. And you know, those are cities just along the coast that were all part of the Philistine Empire. And the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. Says the Lord God. Notice verse 9. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have delivered up the whole captivity to Edom. Again, they did the same thing, those up north, those in Philistia, which is now southern Lebanon, which is inhabited by Hezbollah. And I will, and they did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. Edom did not. I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. So not only do you have the southern areas of Gaza and then the northern areas of Phoenicia being dealt with by God, God is taking his vengeance on what they did to Israel during the time of the tribulation, and even before and leading into the tribulation. Let's look at Jeremiah 47. Jeremiah 47. Start in verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against the Philistines before Pharaoh attacked them. And so there's a double type of duality of prophecy here. Notice verse 4. Because of that day that comes to plunder all the Philistines, to cut off Tyre and Sidon, every helper who remains. For the Lord shall plunder the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Kaphor. Baldness shall come upon Gaza, and we also find Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. And again we read in verse 6, O sword of the Lord, how long are you quiet? Put yourself up into your scabbard, rest and be still. How can it be quiet? Seeing the Lord has given a charge against Ashkelon and against the seacoast, and there he has appointed it. So very strong prophecies that are noted in these particular verses. Let's look at another one, Ezekiel 25. Ezekiel 25. Let's notice verse 15. Ezekiel 25, verse 15. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of their old hatred. This is not new hatred. What we're seeing in the world today is not new. This has been going on for centuries. Because of the old hatred, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines. I will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. Pretty plain. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they'll know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. This has to be talking about after Christ returns and what he will do to subdue those nations that came against Israel. Now, there's so many other prophecies in the Bible that we could look at, but there's one other prophecy that tells us what will happen in those territories after God intervenes and destroys them, those territories, and what's the people in those territories. First of all, let's keep our place in Ezekiel, because we'll be coming back to the book of Ezekiel. And notice Zephaniah 2. Zephaniah 2. It's one of these little books. I like to think of it, Zephaniah, between the two, I think I mentioned this before, between the two H's, Habakkuk and Haggai. Haggai, not Haggai, Haggai. Let's look at Zephaniah 2, verse 4. For Gaza will be forsaken, Ashkelon desolate. They'll drive out Ashdod at new day, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitant of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you, so there shall be no inhabitant. Then notice what is going to happen in that area. The seacoast will be pastures, with shelters for shepherds and folds for flocks. The coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there. In the houses of Ashkelon they will lie down at evening. For the Lord their God, their God will intervene for them and return their captives. God is going to intervene. And God is going to place his nation, the Jewish people, a lot of the Jewish people, into that area. But not only the Jewish people, there'll be other people that will be brought back into that area. And inhabited by Israel in the future. So let's go back now to Ezekiel. And we will now start in the last couple of chapters of Ezekiel. This is after the return of Jesus Christ, the establishment of the new temple, and the establishment of sacrifices. And that's all in the first couple of chapters from Isaiah 40 all the way through Isaiah 46. We come to Ezekiel 47, verse 13. And we could put up map number 4 now if we could. Map number 4. This is the map of millennial Israel. And this comes from the ESVresources.org website. This is millennial Israel. Let's begin Ezekiel 47, verse 13. Thus says the Lord God, these are the borders by which you shall divide the land as an inheritance among the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph will have two portions. You shall inherit it equally with one another. For I raise my hand in an oath to give it to your fathers, and this land shall fall to you as your inheritance. This shall be the border of the land on the north, from the great sea, by the road to Hethlon, as one goes by Zedad, Hamath, and these other cities that are noted there, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, to Hazar, and which is on the border of Hatteran. Thus the territory shall be from the sea to Hazar Anran, the border of Damascus, as for the north, northward. This is the north side. So, if you could see on the map, the north side is way north. If you could see where Damascus is, that's in Syria now. Look way north. That's going to be the map where the nation of Israel will be settling. That's a huge territory. And it encompasses all of Syria. It encompasses all of Lebanon. That entire area is going to be the nation of Israel. Now, let's look at Ezekiel 48, verse 1. Now, these are the names of the tribes from the northern border along the road of those cities there. In the direction of Hamath, there shall be one section for Dan, and then from Dan will be Asher. So if you look on the map, you could see the tribes, where they will settle, Dan and Asher. And then you go down further, Naphtali, and then verse 4. You come to verse 4. By the border of Naphtali, on the east to the west, will be Manasseh. And then Manasseh, verse 6, will be Ephraim. And then you have Reuben. Now, what's interesting to look at this territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, and hopefully you'll be able to see that, it's kind of in the middle of the country. What territory are they going to be taking over and settling in? They're going to be taking over that territory of the Golan Heights, which is a formidable area right now that's very important for the nation of Israel right now. But they're also going to be taking over much of Syria, that whole area. To the east, to the sea, west of the sea, all the way to the east. That whole area that is now Syria will not be Syria. It will not be Tyre. It won't be Damascus. It's all going to be the possession of Ephraim and Manasseh. So, where are those nations? Well, they won't be there. That will be the nation of Israel in the future. Now, it shows a holy portion being described here as well. Because you see that there was Reuben, and then there was Judah. And then in the middle area there is the temple district where the Levites will live, along with the prince and along with all these lands for the Levites and the temple and the city, and where Jerusalem will be in that particular area. And that's fascinating to go through as well. We know that in verse 41, the priests of the sons of Zadok are going to be living there, the physical descendants of those priests. So that's where that holy portion will be between Judah and Benjamin, where the Levites will dwell. Now, that all is in this chapter of the temple, actually. The whole description is chapter 38. Then we find the area of Gaza is going to be inhabited by Benjamin and Simeon. Now, Benjamin and Judah were often together, as well as the Simeonites were scattered throughout Israel. But remember what we read in Judges 1? It was Judah and Simeon that went in to take over the Gaza area at first. Well, look where Simeon will be. And it's south of course, Benjamin. But still, you will have a lot of people. You know, there was a lot of intermarriage between Judah and Benjamin, Simeon being in all those tribes. You can see why God says, yeah, Judah will take over Benjamin. And now we see Simeon, Gaza, Judah and Benjamin and Simeon will be taking over Gaza. It won't be a nation. It's not there. In the future, it's all Israel. This will be God's nation. One nation. And it's going to be massive with all those people dwelling there. In conclusion, let's look at a task that Ezekiel was given in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Verse 15. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "As for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it, 'For Judah and the children of Israel, his companions.' Then take another stick and write on it, 'For Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions.' Then join them together into one stick. They'll become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, 'Will you not show us what you mean by these?' Say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you will write will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone. I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be over them. And there'll be no longer two nations.'" We saw earlier there was a nation of Israel and there was a nation of Judah. That's not going to be anymore. There will be one nation. Nation of Judah and Israel will be all named the nation of Israel. And they will not ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They will not defile themselves anymore, verse 23, with idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. And they will be my people, and I will be their God." One nation under God. That's what's in the pledge. That'll be reality at that time. One nation under God. Let's look at verse 27. "My tabernacle will be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they'll be my people." In verse 28, "The nations will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore." So Israel will be established as one nation. All other nations, all other peoples are going to have to acknowledge God and the nation of Israel. So however this particular current war turns out, in the final analysis, sometime in the future, the final synopsis is that Jesus Christ will eventually intervene. All conflicts will cease. Israel will be a mighty nation, and Gaza will be no more.